Here Be Monsters is a podcast about facing the unknown.
I start to float away from the earth.
Have you ever smoked crack before?
We're all kind of frantically searching for meaning.
They have the neurotransmitters.
I think we're all juggalos in some way.
Yo, we're not broken.
Crazed delinquents.
We're in our last days, young man.
Listen to Here Be Monsters,
the podcast about the unknown,
on the KCRW iTunes page.
From the Independent Producer Project and KCRW.com, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. Unfictional is a program of true stories and personal documentaries. And on this episode, Belle of the Ball, three stories of women who are at the center of attention, for better or worse. Beginning with an event that is a big deal to high schoolers, the prom, but especially when you're prom queen or king, or you long to be one. That was Landon Patterson, whose bid for royalty at her Missouri high school came complete with a wave of international media attention and a visit from the haters. From KCRW.com, it's Unfictional.
Hi, I'm making this video because I had some stuff I really wanted to get off my chest, and this video is way overdue.
So going into my second semester of junior year, I wanted to come out, obviously. I wanted to get it across as this isn't such a crazy hard thing. I told mostly my family first, and then I did a video and I uploaded that to Facebook and YouTube.
I don't feel like I perceive myself as a boy. I don't feel like I dress like, I don't dress like a boy. I don't act like a boy. I'm the farthest thing from a boy.
I'm 16 years old. Yeah, I'm young, but this is what I want. And I was like, I don't want to start this journey when I'm 23 and have a beard or something. I was like, I need to do this now.
I just wanted to make this video and let everybody know from now on, I'm Landon and I'm a girl.
After putting my YouTube video online, I got a lot of positive reactions. I was scared that it was going to be a lot of negative, but it was overwhelmingly positive. All these different people messaging me like, oh my gosh, stay strong. And people switched it up just like that. They're like, Landon, you were always a girl to me. Like, what do you mean? It was weird calling you he.
My name is Anna Blazekovic, and I go to Oak Park High School. Landon, she's actually pretty active in almost every aspect of her school. Not only is she in cheerleading and sports, but she's also on the Axe, which is sort of like our little school TV morning news thing.
Good morning, Oak Park. I'm Landon Patterson, and welcome to the Axe.
Landon's like kind of somebody everybody knows. My name's Mitchell Bashirs. I'm a junior at Oak Park High School. Everyone likes Landon. I mean, I've never really met an individual who's really against Landon unless they're... Well, if you're against Landon, then usually people are against you.
Starting my senior year was super awesome because everyone kind of knows what's up now. I have access to the girls' restroom now. I'm in the girls' uniform, so it's like everything's done. With all the positivity from my video, never really did or could have prepared me for what was to come next. I wanted to become homecoming queen because since freshman year, we always have homecoming queen assemblies and you get to watch the candidates walk out. It's just so cool to see. I knew that's what I wanted to be. Like, I wanted to walk out in the really pretty dress and the heels. And at that time, I wasn't identifying as female. So one of those moments where it's like, Landon, you need to figure out what you want if you want to do something like that. At Oak Park, we do nominations. The senior class will put in ballots and vote that week. And then when they announce it, we don't know what day it is. It's a surprise. They will leave Oak Park at midnight and they call all the parents of the nominees and they say hey, this is a secret. You cannot tell your daughter. They just pretty much surprise you in the middle of the night telling you you're up. My mom told me, I was like, Mom, did you get the call? And she was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, so I grab her phone. I'm seeing if anyone called her and I didn't see anything. And I'm like, she was like, I know you really wanted this, and really tricking me, and I almost start crying. And so I go to bed it's okay, Landon. Maybe it isn't tonight. getting woken up at 3 a.m., I was so, like, shocked and happy. And I was like, oh, my God, it happened.
How does it feel?
Scary.
I didn't really care about the crown or, like, winning. Like, being nominated was enough for me.
Dude, I get to walk in an assembly, and I'm part of a parade, and I'm up.
And someone like me is up. Literally, next thing I know, I come home from school, and I, like, the news is coming over to interview me about being nominated.
Landon Patterson is a senior at Oak Park High School. She's always dreamed of being homecoming queen, but never thought her classmates would approve.
Well, they proved her wrong, and now she's making history.
She's the first ever transgender person to be nominated for queen at her school. But for Landon, it's more than just the title. It's feeling accepted in her own skin, being free to be her.
Surprisingly, it was actually very normal, probably the opposite of what you think it would have been. But I know that the people that didn't really approve of it or anything just kind of kept their mouth shut and kind of minded their own business.
When my interview with Fox 4 debuted, I was like, wow, I just made history. Because that went viral. And then KMBC 9 News and 17 Magazine and BuzzFeed. And yeah, and that was just me being up, like not even me winning.
Well, today, a Metro High School senior made history. During the Oak Park homecoming game, the homecoming queen was announced.
It's pretty packed. Like, because it's homecoming, so it's, like, our biggest game. Then it's just filled, like, the hill is filled, and then there's bleachers all filled, and people bring lawn chairs and blankets. I was just scared. I was like, oh, my God, what if someone shoots me? Like, this is scary. Like, not everyone agrees with this. I was, like, scared someone's going to yell something rude when it got quiet. That was in the back of my mind. The last 10 minutes of the game, all the candidates get in line with their parents and then their banner holders. And then we walk out onto the field.
Our next candidate is Miss Landon Patterson.
I'm just looking around and I'm like, whoa. And there's like Fox 4 is there. And then the homecoming queen from last year is there to hand out the crown. This is a huge moment. And then they're about to say, for the moment you've all been waiting for. And I'm like, ah. And I look down. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, Landon, it's very real that like you can't win. So many other girls who are so deserving, like it was a really good bunch of girls. So I'm like, Landon, like talking to myself, like, Landon, if you don't win, it's okay. Like, look of what you've gotten so far, like it doesn't matter. So I stick my head down. He's like, the moment you've all been waiting for. And it's like, dun 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 dun.
The 2015 homecoming queen is Miss Landon Patterson.
Oh, I just started crying. I didn't know what to do. It was more than just like a crown. It was just kind of like a huge thing for the trans community. It was just like one step closer to like, you can be who you are and people will accept you. Because my school is an awesome example that like everyone accepted me and like they had my back. I'm at McDonald's one day after a soccer game we won and I'm with friends and then they're like, Landon, my sister just sent me this. Did you see this? And like, it was Westboro Baptist Church. It's like they had a flyer and it said announcing their picket October 1st to come to my school and protest the queen. And it just had a bunch of rude things on it, like Bible verses, just saying that we're all sinners for even nominating me. And just, it was like a knock off my pedestal.
Westboro Baptist Church, America usually identifies them by their hate signs, such as God hates fags. Our first action was we needed to start a protest.
It was quite a scene out here around 1:30, but it didn't last long. There were a lot of people out here to support Landon Patterson, the transgender homecoming.
We named it Stand Against Hate, and we just invited anybody to the counter-protest that could go. It didn't matter who you were. It was just something to kind of stand with Landon.
I was super scared about the protest. I was like, I did not know it was going to happen, but I definitely wasn't going to participate and go outside. Just for my safety, like, I kept picturing like some sniper being in the tree waiting for me.
Landon made big news for being a transgender homecoming queen. Lots of support, and then she found herself the target of hateful tweets and then a protest at her school.
They can believe what they want, but they shouldn't be attacking us.
Next thing I know, I'm in class and someone's like, Landon, look, and shows me their Snapchat story, and I'm like, that is a lot of people.
But the protesters never made it to the high school. The large counter-protest took over and crossed the street, and they drove those protesters off.
And then we probably had, like, maybe 200 people over there, maybe more.
Long live the queen! Long live the queen!
They were heavily outnumbered. It was great.
And we should point out numbers because it's important. There were hundreds of people here to support Landon Patterson, and those protesters, they packed up and they left in one van.
Long live the queen! Long live the queen! Long live the queen!
The minute the bell rang, I like went downstairs, went out the door, and I'm like seeing everyone leaving the protest. I'm like going to my car and watching. Like, it was just so many people. Oh my goodness. And to look in the group, I didn't even know this person liked me. I used to think this person hated me. You know what I mean? And just so many people came together for me. It just kind of shows the world's changing. And if things like this can happen in Missouri, it can happen anywhere.
That story was produced by Esther Honig with some editing by Unfictional's Nick White. And we have prom pictures at our website, kcrw.com/unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and today on the program, Belle of the Ball, stories of women who are at the center of everyone's attention, for better or worse. Next, Summer Camp, where Annabelle Gurwitch arrived, looking for refuge from a stressful summer. It's nothing like she was expecting, but it might be exactly what she needs. From KCRW.com, it's Unfictional.
We're in the Redwood Forest, 3 hours north of San Francisco, and I'm with a man who's wearing a purple wig. He's got a turban on. He's wearing clown pants, and he's on roller skates. And he invites me to call him Honey Bear. And he asks me if he can hug me, and I say, okay. And he leans in, and he says the most frightening thing that he could possibly say in that moment. He whispers, welcome home. 24 hours before that, I was in Los Angeles. I was arguing with my husband, and my son wasn't speaking to me. Even my cats were in a standoff with me, and I had just gotten a jaywalking ticket on my way to my yoga class, and I'm standing there in the street with my ticket in my hand. I'm just seething, and I noticed that there's a poster in the window of a cafe, and it's for a summer camp for adults who want to experience play. Every summer in my childhood, I was sent to camp in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We canoed, we swam in the lake, and one summer, I was recognized in a ceremony in front of the entire camp for having scored the most hickeys in my age group second session. It was the 1970s. Good times. And whenever I get stressed out, I picture myself in this outdoor pagoda where we had our Israeli dance classes overlooking the lake. That has become my happy place. So I go home and I Google the camp, and it's a little more than I wanted to spend, but in the way that the internet can make it so easy, with one click, I'm going to camp. So it's not until after I've clicked on the non-refundable camp payment that I take a closer look and I see I'm going to have to take a plane and drive 3 hours to get to the camp, but I've already hit that send button. That is how I ended up standing in the woods with Honey Bear, who reminds me of all the rules that were outlined on the site that I didn't read. There's no technology, there's no clocks at the camp. And then he invites me to write my nickname on a name tag because that is the only name I'm going to be called the entire time I'm at camp. Now, people in my family call me Sergeant Gurwitch, and I've been referred to as cranky or an acquired taste. But I decide that I'm going to go for something that no one who knows me would ever think to call me. Sunshine. Honey Bear tells me that the costume parade is starting on the athletic field. So I head up to the field and I see that there's this grassy expanse and it's teeming with plushies and people in pajamas and people on stilts and people wielding puppets, and I am the only person who isn't in costume or dressed like a Boy Scout from the 1950s. And on stage, there's a guy in a cape, Sir Acha. Sir Acha. Mr. Hot Sauce announces that to decide who will get the honor of raising the camp flag, we're going to play a game of rock, paper, scissors. All 200 of us at the same time. There's this rush of action. It's like the Soviet bread lines in the 1970s, and the flag is raised and the crowd is roaring, and then everyone in costume is doing the limbo and there's conga lines, and it occurs to me that I thought that I was going to a camp for adults who want to play, but I have come to a camp for adults who want to play like children. I decide I'm going to try and sleep the night off. So I go up to where the cabins are supposed to be, but there's not cabins. There's just wooden shelters, and there's no electricity, and it's freezing. And I put on every single item of clothing I got, and I dive inside my sleeping bag, but I can't fall asleep. Go to your happy place, I tell myself. But the cold has intensified the arthritis in my hands that are now curled into angry fists, and every single bone in my body is aching with stiffness. I can't make it through this night. I will die. And when the story hits the news that a camper has died from exposure, no one will suspect that it's me, because no one who has ever spent 5 minutes in my company would associate me with the name Sunshine. And if, somehow, I do live through the night, I will need to be flown home in a medical transport plane. That will cost a small fortune, and no way is that going to be covered by my insurance. I will never live this down. I am definitely not in my happy place. In the morning, I want to go home, and I tell this to Honey Bear, and he says, "No, stay. We all love you. Take a class. There's 3 classes today. Ukulele for Dummies, bring your own uke. There's Let's Get Naked and Connect, and Survival Skills." A group of 20 of us are assembled on a flat plateau above the athletic field for survival skills. Our instructor, Condor, tells us that he wants to share the wisdom of the forest people. And he tells us not to believe the scientists, that Two-Legged has been walking on Turtle Island since the time of the dinosaurs. And despite this, and the fact that Condor is definitely not Native American, I'm the first person to put up her hand when offered the opportunity to participate in a Native American sweat lodge, because it just sounds so warm. We enter the pitch-black yurt, crawling across the dirt floor in a clockwise direction, each of us calling out in Lakota Sioux, "Mataki Oasin, all my relations." Condor feeds superheated volcanic rocks into the fire pit. He invokes the spirit world. Steam rises and envelops us, and the drumming and the chanting are so loud, it's almost deafening. By the time the temperature reaches 130 degrees, our numbers are halved. Have we been in there for 5 minutes or 5 hours? Who knows? Because there are no clocks, and those remaining are invited to share our prayer or our song. And as a drum passes to me, and it's signaling that it's my turn to make an offering, the mud is sticking my thighs to the ground, and the smell of mugwort is filling my lungs, and I am suddenly gripped with the intense desire to belong to this tribe. I want to sing something cool and eclectic, but I want these people to know that I occasionally eat low on the food chain. I was once in a punk band, but what comes out is Havanagila, a song that was sung at my summer camp and was sung by my parents and their parents, by all of my relations, probably for thousands of years, but probably not all the way back to the time of the dinosaurs. And our voices rose together, and we prayed together, and we sweated into each other's skin, and we slurped from the same water jug, which I really don't want to think about right now. And when we emerged, the people who hadn't already shed their clothing during the lodge disrobed, and they waded into the stream next to the yurt. And I smiled, but I declined the invitation. It wasn't because I didn't want to get naked. I was in my 20s in the 1980s, and I've gotten naked with plenty of people whose names I never knew. But I didn't want to traumatize these young people by treating them to a up-close and personal glimpse of the inevitable future of all flesh. And I couldn't risk lowering my body temperature with the coming nightfall. But for that one brief moment inside that yurt, I was someone who could answer to the name Sunshine, and Sunshine had a new happy place.
Annabelle Gurwitch is a storyteller and New York Times best-selling author of I See You Made an Effort. No photos exist of Annabelle at her camp, but there is a drawing of her in despair at our website, kcrw.com/unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and on today's program, Belle of the Ball. While growing up in the dreary London projects, Tanya had dreams of Hollywood, where everything was sunshine and smiling. She had a plan, but soon realized there was more than just the Atlantic Ocean standing in her way. From KCRW.com, it's Unfictional.
My name's Tanya, not Tonya or Tenya or Tanya, but Tanya. Sometimes when I go to Starbucks, the barista writes Kenya on my cup, like the country in Africa. I don't mind. I'm often a bit misunderstood. It's my accent. I was born and bred in northeast London on a 1960s council housing estate. It's what you'd call a project or a tenement here in America. The place was built entirely out of concrete with just a few patches of grass where the dogs did their business. It had a laundrette where we washed our clothes, a newsagent where we bought our sweets, and a pub where our parents went for a bevvy. There was even a school right there on the estate. The teachers prepared us to work at the London Rubber Factory making condoms for men and marigold gloves for women. They also taught us needlework, cookery and childcare so we could be good housewives and mothers. But I didn't want to be a housewife or a mother, and I definitely didn't want to work at the London Rubber Factory. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. I had a wealthy aunt in Hollywood, California. She worked at 20th Century Fox as a researcher. For my 10th birthday, she sent me a ViewMaster and a bunch of slides. I lay on my back every night after school and pointed the projector at the ceiling. Pictures of Disneyland, SeaWorld, Grauman's Chinese Theatre and the Hollywood sign came to life right there in my living room. The sun was shining in every shot and everyone looked happy. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to work with famous people like Auntie Betty, and I wanted to live in Hollywood. Auntie had a big house in the hills above the Hollywood Bowl, but she had some aspiring actor fella called Patrick Swayze, who was renting the downstairs apartment, which meant there was no room for me. So, at the age of 16, when I left school, I hatched a plan to become a hotel receptionist. I would transfer to the new Holiday Inn at the bottom of Auntie's street. And when Patrick was ready to move out and get famous, I'd be ready to move in. In the meantime, I had to get qualified. Westminster College London offered a one-year 709 City and Guilds Hotel Reception Certificate. I pictured it with my name embossed in gold letters. My ticket to freedom. Mum bought me a suit from the catalogue on Tick for my interview. It was cobalt blue and a size 10, the last of its kind on special offer. It was a bit tight around the midriff, but it was all mine. The teacher who interviewed me said it was all about how one presented oneself in the hotel industry. She felt I'd do fine if I could just tone down my Cockney twang. She asked if I was willing to take a few extra speech classes. I'd do anything, I told her, whatever it took. So I tried to stop dropping me H's, I pronounced me T's, I said butter, not butter, and water, not water. I stopped saying ain't and in it and started saying isn't and isn't it. I tried. Blimming blimey, I tried. I learned how to walk with a book on my head, to add up a guest's bill with 15% value-added tax, and I even learned how to make flower arrangements for the front desk, ovals and triangular symmetricals. At the end of the year came the very thing we'd all been waiting for, work experience. I was allocated to the Selfridge Hotel in London's West End. For my first day, I put on my suit. It was no longer cobalt blue because Mum had turned it an uneven pink by putting it in the wash with the reds. I got off the tube at Bond Street and walked past the big department stores and into the entrance of the hotel. A doorman in a top hat and tails bowed and tipped his hat at me. Me! I felt so important. This place was classy. Chandeliers, high ceilings, frock wallpaper that I had to touch to believe it was real. I glided across the polished wood floor as if I had a book on my head, making my way to the front desk to meet the manager, Mr. Howard. "Pleased to meet you, Mr. Howard. I can't even believe I'm here," I said. Mr. Howard shook his head and looked disappointed. He told me there was no way I could work on the front desk, not the way I spoke. Did I know this was a 5-star hotel? Then he decided to send me upstairs to work in housekeeping with Shirley. Said he could really use someone else up there. I was gutted. Upstairs, Shirley got cross with me. "Didn't your mother teach you how to make hospital corners?" she asked me. She sent me back downstairs to work in the kitchen, and by the time I got there, I had tears in my eyes. Mr. Howard sent me home early. Mum was waiting for me with a big steaming plate of chips. "This'll make you feel better," she said. "Eat up. I don't know why you're worrying about all this hotel business. Why don't you just pick up a couple of shifts at the London Rubber? Settle down like everyone else." And you know what? That's exactly what I did in the end. I worked the late shift at the London Rubber, and as time went on, I worked at other places too. I even settled down and had 2 sons. And then years later, when I was least expecting it, I got a phone call from Auntie Betty's friend. My auntie's caregiver had sold all of her things, spent her money, and was about to sell the house. Poor Aunt Betty, she really needed me. So I left England with my 2 sons in tow. It didn't take long to fall in love with Hollywood, but maybe I'd never really stopped being in love with it since those early days with my Viewmaster. I own Auntie's beautiful hilltop house now, and I've turned it into an Airbnb. So in some ways you could say I'm a hotel receptionist. It's just that it's my own hotel. I make flower arrangements for the dining room table. I've even learned how to do hospital corners. Before my guests arrive, I make myself a little cup of tea on Patrick's old stove. It's a classic, a 1950s chambers with polished chrome and vintage green enamel. I named it the Swayze stove, and the guests love it. And do you know what else they absolutely bloody love? The way I talk. "Where are you from?" they ask me. "London," I tell them. "London? Oh, we just love your accent. It's so sophisticated. We could listen to you talk all day long."
Tanya Frank is a writer and Airbnb entrepreneur living in Los Angeles. She's writing a memoir about her transatlantic life. You can find links, information, and photos about this episode at our website, kcrw.com/unfictional. Take a listen to our entire archive of programs while you're there, too. I'm Bob Carlson, producer of Unfictional. The editor is Nick White. The associate producer is Carla Green. Please podcast the program on iTunes, follow the show on Twitter at Unfictional, or like us on Facebook. But most importantly, I hope you'll join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.com.